Welcome to a new episode of the China Flexpat Podcast. And today we have a great topic because expats are going home. And what happens with this? So who's taking their jobs? Are these Chinese professionals or flexpats? And what does this mean for job opportunities for flexpats? Today we have a real expert on this topic, Christian, and I'm excited to have him on the show. Welcome, Christian.
Yeah, my name is Christian Göttger. I live in Shanghai. And I have been in China for 10 years now. I have a background in PR and marketing and recently obtained my Master of Business Administration. I worked as a general manager for international companies in Ningbo. And today I'm a lecturer for business management at the Sino-British College in Shanghai. At the same time, I also have my own small consulting firm. I'm a member of the Rotary Club of Shanghai. I love sports, my family, and blogging about health topics.
How did you first come to China in the first place? And how did you get to where you're today?
In 2013, my wife got an offer to come to China. And I happily encouraged her to take this opportunity. My wife was born in China, so I loved the opportunity to go to her home country and also learn Chinese. And in 2020, we had the chance to go to Shanghai from Ningbo, move from Ningbo to Shanghai, which was another great opportunity to live in an even more international city and to widen our networks and our horizon.
And based on your experience, how would you describe the challenge of flexpats in 2023?
Currently, I don't see so many challenges. I see really more opportunities. I did a recent study to obtain my master thesis. One of the findings was that actually today there's less willingness among experienced managers in Europe to be posted to China.
So what's the reason why expats are not willing to come to China anymore?
Already before the pandemic, there was less willingness among those experienced executives. According to my research, many of them are rather pursuing their career in their home countries. So the image of China today is not as sexy as 20 years ago. For sure, the zero COVID policy contributed a lot to this change in perception. And you also know, Francis, there's a shortage of qualified labor in many European countries. So the situation is quite favorable for well-educated and capable executives in Europe. So many of them currently are not so interested to be posted to China. Currently, mainly younger people who have maybe studied Chinese are still willing to go to China. But are they qualified for a role in the top management of the local China office? That's another question.
If expats are not coming to China as they used to, how do the Chinese teams react? And can Chinese professionals take these jobs by themselves?
In general, Chinese local staff is very capable and very willing to learn. I had many people, Chinese employees in my teams that were very willing to learn and very dedicated. I don't see the big problem on the working level or on the level of the mid-management. In the top management, and my research was really aiming for the top management, there are still jobs and there are still areas that cannot be replaced or should not be replaced by locals. So there's still an advantage for foreigners in terms of traveling, communication, understanding the company culture and such.
So what's the risk if a company goes down this road to say, okay, well, we don't have an expat, but we have great Chinese professionals, so they are qualified for top management. What's the risk?
I see a risk that because during the pandemic, a lot of trust between headquarters and China branches has been lost. This is, of course, mainly because of the travel limitations. And I think that it is easier to restore this trust with managers from your own cultural background. It's much about trust and communication. Even if you don't have anyone from your headquarters who wants to go to China currently, I believe that someone from the same cultural background is still more suitable to understand the company culture, to establish relationships and networks inside the headquarters. And this is, in my eyes, eventually necessary to run the business in China, having the backup of the colleagues at home. And this is something that could be a risk if you don't have any foreigners left in your company?
That's quite a difficult discussion, right? To say, is this Chinese person able to understand headquarter or not? Basically, it's also kind of the job of the headquarter, right? To communicate in a way that the Chinese person can build trust, right?
Definitely, definitely. I would never say that Chinese people are not able to build this trust or that this is not possible. We have many examples where this works quite well. What I can just say, and this is based on my research, especially caused by those 3 years when communication, at least face-to-face communication, meeting each other was almost impossible, there was a loss of trust. Many also experienced China manager and consultants are of the opinion that now the headquarters in Europe are even more looking for foreigners, for flexpats or expats to take over those leadership roles in China. At least as a team, it's not said that a foreigner must run the China business, but at least have international teams in your leadership, in your management team, so that in terms of trust, it's easier to trust someone from your same cultural background. We have seen that during the pandemic, some local Chinese managers with a local passport, they were not allowed to travel. So at least an international hold of an international passport with a valid China visa could still travel between Europe and China. So there are some advantages to have international leadership teams in your China branch.
So how would you define a flexpat?
I define flexpat as someone who has a very long-term perspective to stay in China and who's at the same time willing to contribute a lot to her or his company to make that possible to stay in China for a long time. While everyone is unique, I still see that many flexpats are eager to learn, eager to network, and have a quite solid understanding of both cultures with their advantages and disadvantages.
There is a big difference between expats and flexpats, and this being that expats are trained from headquarter. So they have been in headquarter for a long time, they have the relationships and they have know-how and they can solve a big and problem just by calling somebody. So how do you close this gap as a flexpat if you don't have this?
This is what I just described, how I experience many of our fellow flexpats, that they are open-minded, that they are eager to learn, that they are quite adaptive. And so I believe flexpats in general have a good ability to build these networks into those companies. Yeah. So of course they need to be sent to the headquarters for quite a while. They need to socialize with the people there. They don't have this, what you just mentioned. They don't have the 10 years experience in the company. They don't have the networks right now. And yet again, I would say they can more easily gain the trust of the colleagues back home and build the relationship than a local Chinese manager. And still, I know they're fantastic local Chinese managers. I know some of them, they are fantastic. They have great language skills. And I would never generalize you. But still, it's usually easier for, let's say, a European, a French, a British, Italian, German, in their home country, in the headquarters, to build the trust and build these relationships to the colleagues there. Then the flexpat could close this gap to expats. Not maybe like 100%, but on the other hand, then flexpats have other advantages.
Yeah, I totally agree to this. And what do you think about salary packages? Flexpats typically try to reduce their benefit packages, right? But what is possible? I mean, if you build your life in China, like me, I'm 39 now, and maybe you have kids in school or whatever, you will have higher cost of living than Chinese professionals. So how do you justify this?
First, I would say everyone must justify their value and their salary and everything every day anew. And I would say there's not so much to justify because it's always related to the value that you bring to the company. Miscommunication, lack of trust, and perhaps a too independent local management can cost you as a company. And I not fully agree with you, Francis, on this part of cost or salary packages. maybe if we talk about a kind of expert level, or let's say middle management level, there it is possible that you can say for the local professional, you can the salary package would be a bit less than for a flexpat. But if we're really talking about top management positions, then this is also a finding of my research. Then the Chinese local top managers, they earn exactly the same or even more than that foreigners. So one of my interviewees even said they are laughing at us. I mean, this was a bit over-exaggerated, but still, I don't see that anyone needs to justify a salary package if you can justify your value for the company. I don't see that really capable Chinese professionals are any cheaper than flexpats, because they exactly know what foreigners can earn. And if you are a good Chinese professional, then you can also select your jobs. Yeah, so you can ask a lot. So flexpats should not underestimate the value that they can bring to the business here.
I agree. How will the ecosystem that we see now for education, international schools, how will this change in the next 10 years?
We are talking about expats. Are they still willing to come? At the same time, will the tax benefits for the personal income tax, will this tax exemption on some of the benefits like housing and schooling, will this be extended? This will be a very, very tough question end of this year. If not, if starting from next year, all foreigners that the full salary package would be fully taxed, including housing, including schooling, then I think we will have a real other discussion and real big problem also for the international schools and for this ecosystem that you mentioned. If not, I think we have now a rather stable situation. I don't believe that we will see a very high fluctuation of foreigners in the coming years. I think we have a very stable number now. The people that wanted to leave, they already left. Yeah, they left during the pandemic or now. And there are still some people willing to come. Some people will leave anyway because of end of their assignment or whatever. My personal belief is, no, but I don't know, I cannot say for sure, but that this number that we have currently of foreigners in China is rather stable and will slightly growing again in the next years.
But this would have to mean that international companies, they accept flexpats as a real opportunity or talent pool for top management positions. And if they do this, then maybe there will be more people coming in and trying to build this as a career. So what do you think? Does this already happen? So how do international companies react to flexpats?
Like I said, because of the pandemic and the zero COVID policy that caused many foreigners to leave Shanghai and China as such, you have two choices. If you have your local branch here, you can either fully localize, so have the complete team consisting of Chinese professionals, or you consider flexpats as a reasonable alternative for running the business here. So I see mainly those two options. And as I said, the trust has been suffering. This is why I believe that flexpats will be more and more considered now and in the nearby future. And so there will be more opportunities for flexpats to build up the career here in China.
Yeah, I hope so. And this is why we do this podcast, right? To show young professionals, if they choose this career path, then there are certain rules and best practices that they can learn from and they can take as guidance. And this is also what you contribute to. So thank you very much, Christian, for your research on this area, because this would be very valuable both for companies and also for talents.
Yeah, that's what I can do. I mean, I'm happy to share the findings of my research and offer to further discuss those questions with companies and flexpats that are interested in learning more about that.
So what's your own future? What do you want to do as a job or professional career in the next 5 years?
For me, currently, what I wish is to broaden my network in China and Asia. So I would love to connect with more people who are doing business in or with China. And I'm really looking forward to the flexpat meetup and such kind of networking opportunities here. So this is what I'm looking for, what are my goals for the next couple of years. So I want to broaden my network here and want to contribute to the business community.
And what would you say you're really grateful for if you look back on your international career?
I maybe thank myself for my courage to go abroad back in 2013 and take the opportunity to actually broaden my horizons by living and working in a totally different culture. And there, it would take too long to thank everyone, but I'm also kind of thankful for the good and bad examples of leadership that I experienced in my career, because I learned a lot from both, from everyone.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's no bad experiences, right? You can just learn from something from everybody. There is a big target audience for this podcast. So we're trying to reach every single international professional who wants to work in or with China. What would you say? Who should listen to this podcast, and what's your message?
I hope that the content of this podcast today brings some value to European SMEs, small and medium-sized enterprises, regarding their considerations for local staffing. You mentioned that's actually an HR topic. And my message would be, don't fully localize if you can. That would be my main recommendation. Keep international teams, especially in your leadership teams, in your top management. And maybe my message to all flexpats would be, keep on learning and keep on qualifying yourself for the job that you are in, respectively the job that you are looking for. And at the same time, be confident. Yeah? You can bring value to international firms in China. Believe in yourself.
That's very inspiring. So thank you very much, Christian. We will try to get this episode in front of all the HR decision makers around the world. And we need your help. Dear audience, dear listener, we need your help to do this. If you like this episode, please share it with your friends and maybe send it to somebody who is in such a decision-making position or somebody who wants to go to China. And we will, as always, put all the information in the show notes, and you can reach out to me or to Christian if you have any further questions. If you can give us a 5-star review on your podcast app, that would help us a lot. As well as if you know somebody who can be our next speaker, please reach out and tell me. I'm always happy to hear and to think about how we can further develop this podcast. With this, thank you very much, Christian. It was very nice to have you on the show and to really put some academic insights into this question of the FlexPad movement.
Thanks again. It was a great pleasure, and hopefully your listeners will find it useful.
They will, I'm sure. 谢谢, 再见.
Bye-bye. Thank you.